So much for the ABCs of aesthetics. But now suppose you have something in your work that is loathsome, or that is desirable, or has to do with experiences of life that awaken those sentiments. How do you handle it? How do you have a tragic work, for example, or a really comic work? Well, for this, Joyce goes to Aristotle. The tragic emotions, says Aristotle, are pity and terror. And the comic emotion, which Aristotle doesn't talk about too much, Joyce names joy. This is not desire, it's not loathing, it's joy in possession. Now he says with respect to desire, to pity and terror, this is very important. Aristotle has not defined them, I have. That's the arrogant young man. In some people, arrogance is rather charming, in others it is not. What he says at this time is, pity is the emotion that arrests the mind, static, before whatsoever is grave and constant in human suffering cannot be changed, and unites it with the human sufferer. Pity is the emotion that arrests the mind before whatsoever is grave and constant in human suffering and unites it with the human sufferer. Terror is the emotion that arrests the mind before whatsoever is grave and constant in human suffering and unites it with the secret cause. Now, what is the secret cause? Let's say we read in the newspaper a story. Mr. A shoots and kills Mr. B. What is the secret cause of the death of Mr. B? Is it the bullet? If you're going to write a book about gun control, perhaps you're going to stress the bullet and it shouldn't have been there and all that kind of thing. Then you're writing a didactic work, and this is not going to be tragic. Is it that Mr. B was Negro and Mr. A was white, as in the Martin Luther King murder? Are you going to stress that? Well, then you're writing a sociological tract. You're not speaking about the grave and constant or the secret cause. What is the secret cause of Mr. B's death? That which is grave and constant, so that we can recognize it as our own death. Aha, now you're beginning to get into the sphere of the tragic problem. Of course, on the first level, it's mortality itself. Death comes, and this is the way death came to that man. But that's not quite good enough for a tragic work. And I've intentionally selected Martin Luther King because only a few days before he was shot, he said, "Someday I may be shot for this." Here is a man who was ready for his destiny, and he was careless of survival, security, social prestige. He had been seized by something, and he brought about his own death, as we all do. Our death's growing in us now, and the very things that we're doing and not doing is what's going to kill us. This is it. This is the moon image again. The shadow of the moon lives in the moon. The moon sheds its shadow. There's that principle that goes past the principle of death, which is antithetical to birth, and those two together play against each other in all life. You're beginning to get into the sphere of tragic. Now, the next point is, the pity emotion is for the human sufferer, not that he was black. That he was human. And he becomes a tragic hero in that sense. You're static now. You can't go out and reform. You can read it on another level, yes, and go out and work for racial, whatever it is you're interested in. But the tragic thing's going to sit there, and when you've eliminated all the causes, death comes another way to other people. This, when I first read it in Joyce, struck me in a very interesting way. The kinetic emotions of desire and loathing, desire and fear. Those are exactly the temptations that were brought to the Buddha as he sat under the Bo tree. He was tempted to desire, he was tempted to fear, and he had transcended ego. So he neither was moved by desire, nor was he moved by fear. The place where he was sitting under the bow tree, the tree of illumination, is called the immovable spot, aesthetic arrest. And Joyce says, when you have seen the object that way, you see that it is that which it is and no other thing, and you are held to it. And here's the point with the tragedy, you affirm it. That he should have died this way is good. Life is good in its majesty, in its tragedy. Art is affirmative of what it depicts. Cartooning is something else again. You can have cartooning that costs you $40,000 to hang it on the wall, and I won't tell you the man's name who did it. But it's negative to life. Art affirms the object, it looks at it with rapture, and the rhythms are bringing out that radiance.